19th, 2012, Planning Commission meeting to order. Brad, could you take the roll call for us? Do you have the list?
I can open. Commissioner Christensen.
Present.
Commissioner Sherwood.
Present.
Commissioner Benrest.
Here.
Commissioner Lutz.
Here.
Commissioner Ryland.
Yes.
Commissioner Tuttle.
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is a special meeting tonight, so we have no minutes to go over. And I suppose normally we take comments from citizens on items that are not on the agenda. And tonight, all we have on the agenda is our public hearing for the East Monroe EIS, Environmental Impact Statement. Is there anyone here wishing to make a comment on something other than that tonight? Thank you. What we will do is introduce this. Brad, would you like me to read this statement before I turn it over? Great. I have a prepared statement I'm to give. Welcome to the City of Monroe Planning Commission meeting. I will be presiding over tonight's meeting. Tonight's hearing has been called for the purpose of taking oral comments on the draft phased environmental impact statement for the proposed East Monroe Amendment to the City of Monroe Comprehensive Plan and Concomitant Rezone. In addition to oral comments, you may also submit written comments to the City of Monroe. Comments will be accepted through Friday, March 30th, 2012. The intent and purpose of this environmental impact statement is to satisfy the requirements of the State Environmental Policy Act, RCW 43.21C, including the requirement to inform the public of agency determinations pursuant to the State Environmental Policy Act. The environmental impact statement is not an authorization for action, nor does it constitute a decision or a recommendation for an action. In its final form, it will accompany a recommendation to City Council and will be considered in making the final decision on the proposal. As the hearing is being recorded and a transcript will be included in the final environmental impact statement, if you wish to speak tonight, please make sure you have already placed your name and contact information on the sign-up sheet so that your remarks may be correctly attributed. When you begin your remarks, please state your name for the record, and we will also take an oath. If you haven't had your name on the list, I think we should allow for comment. There's an opportunity to add that. Thank you. In the interest of providing everyone an opportunity to speak, a 5-minute limit will be placed on each speaker. If there is anyone here with a prepared comment in which they believe will exceed 5 minutes, for whom this time limit will present a hardship, please estimate how long you think your remarks will take prior to beginning your comments. Otherwise, you will be asked to conclude your remarks at the end of the 5 minutes and yield to the next speaker. No attempt will be made to limit the subject matter of any speaker, but you should be aware that only comments which pertain to the draft phased environmental impact statement or to the environmental review process can be expected to have an influence on the process or outcome. As a courtesy to others, I urge you to try to limit your remarks to issues which others have not already addressed. Tonight's meeting is not an answer question-answer session. All comments and questions will be reviewed by the city staff, and responses will be included in the final phased environmental impact statement. A final environmental impact statement in upcoming weeks will be made available in the same manner as the draft phased environmental impact statement. And hopefully, Paul, you can go over how people can acquire that at that time. The proposal considered in the draft phased environmental impact statement is an amendment to the City of Monroe's comprehensive plan to change the land use designation and a concomitant rezone, changing the zoning classification of approximately 50 acres of land located north of US 2 near the eastern city limits of the city of Monroe from limited open space to general commercial. The proposed action involves six parcels totaling approximately 68 acres. However, the portions of these parcels within the shoreline boundary are not subject to this proposed action and will remain designated as limited open space. And we will have Paul give us an introduction to that, but before we do, I'd like to see if there's any commissioners with any questions. No? Thank you. Paul, I'll go ahead and turn it over to you then.
Well, I have no presentation tonight. I think it'd be proper just to go ahead and open the public hearing and solicit some comments.
All right. Well, thank you for coming tonight. I know last week some of you showed up and the meeting had to be delayed till tonight, and I thank you for your patience in returning if you found yourself here not being able to comment or at least not be able to be part of a public hearing. So with that, I guess we'll take our first speaker here. First, if someone wanted to make comments, the first name on the list is Jeff Roger. And if you could give your name and address for the record.
Sure. It's Jeff Rogers. I live at 127 East Ridgemont Drive, Monroe, Washington.
Okay, and do you promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
It's my opinion, but I believe it's a truthful opinion.
Great, thank you.
I'm here not only on behalf of myself, but Lowell Anderson would love to be here, but he's recovering from knee surgery. So these words will be brief because you have, the record is replete with our opposition to the proposed comprehensive plan amendment and the proposed rezone from limited open space to general commercial. So I'm not going to gild the lily, so to speak. You have a lot of that information already. I don't believe the proposed rezone and the comprehensive plan amendment is appropriate without a specific project proposal. If the comprehensive plan and the rezone is ultimately adopted, it really opens the gate to just about any sort of general commercial development on that property. The property is rife with sensitive areas, critical areas, environmental issues, traffic and safety, access issues. There's a long list of issues that have been identified by the city in its review over the years. This proposed rezone has been up before you numerous times and it's been rejected every time. And we would ask that that be consistent again, that you turn down any request related to the proposed rezone. Obviously, the comprehensive plan amendment, from our perspective, and the proposed rezone does have significant environmental significance. And the city acknowledged that back in July when it made a determination that it was of significance. So we were somewhat surprised when the city didn't require the applicant to go through a EIS, but took it upon themselves to do a draft phased environmental impact statement, which in effect resuscitated the project to our chagrin, but that in effect is why we're here. So once again, from our perspective, my perspective, the rezone, the comprehensive plan amendment, however we want to characterize it, would have profound and irrevocable environmental consequences. So the mere fact that you're going through a rezone, in my judgment, does have significant environmental consequences, whether it's the steep slopes. Obviously, I live contiguous to the property. It's a 40% grade. I'm sure others in the room share the concern I have that we could be facing slides and the loss of our homes as a result of any development on the property. Obviously, what allows the development is a rezone and a comprehensive plan amendment, so that does have environmental significance. I think the other thing that needs to be taken into account is the FEMA issue. FEMA maps are in the process, as you know probably much better than I, of being redrawn. And the proposed FEMA map underscores that this property could be in the flood zone. Lowell has put together, and we've submitted a chart that shows that much of the property is below the 67-foot flood baseline. So it is at some risk, and I think the city would be imprudent rezoning and then rezoning it into a FEMA flood zone. So that needs to be taken into account. Obviously, the Department of Transportation has raised a whole host of issues. And once again, why go ahead and rezone this until those issues are ironed out? So for all those reasons, we believe it's jumping the gun to proceed with the comprehensive plan amendment and the rezone. So those are my comments, and continue your consistent opposition to this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And before I open to speakers, I was going to mention one other thing. There's people who may not have been here last week and are, you know, kind of learning the process here. We're having two public hearings. One is tonight, and this is on the environmental impact statement, and which I had stated earlier. Just want to make sure everybody understood that there will be another public hearing in April for the project as a whole. So there will also be another time to speak for the project as a whole. Not that you can't tonight, but. All right, our next speaker is Doug Hammer. And if you could give us your name and address for the record, please.
It's Doug Hammer, and that's 21122 Calvin Road.
Great, and you promise the testimony you're about to give us the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you, sir.
I think I can do it in 5 minutes, but I might say such a seven. But I understand the concept. The logic seems a little bit selective, but this proposed zoning change in and of itself does not have any environmental impact. But I was trying to think of some other circumstance where that kind of logic would apply, and the only thing I could come up with was, it'd be like if Genghis Khan applied to the Chinese for a few thousand tourist visas on the rationale that granting those visas wouldn't have any effect on the Chinese sovereignty. But I think really the zoning change itself stands on even shakier ground as far as the logic goes. I'd like to quote from the draft phase environmental impact statement. The purpose and need of the action. According to the project proponent, the purpose and the proposed action is to allow the commercial development of the subject property in order to bring valuable and economic development to the city of Monroe, unquote. Well, you can go to showcase.com right now and find 48 commercial properties available for a total of 674,977 square feet, 150,000 of which is retail. So, where's the need? And two, how is a bunch more commercial property, 3/4 mile down the road, going to be at all helpful in what seems to me already a glut of commercial property? It would make more sense to me economically for the city to buy the property and turn it into a wildlife refuge with viewing paths and a Sky Valley Cascade Range Nature Center of some kind. Then you'd have a wildlife area down one end of town and the fairgrounds of the other, which would bring people in from all over. The proponent also says this zone change, he states that the proposed action is necessary to bring the land use of the project area into conformity with the Growth Management Act. Well, you know, I'm really glad that he brought that up, that the proponent brought that up, because it caused me to do some investigating. And it turns out that that property was put into the zone of limited open space specifically to comply with the Growth Management Act back in 94. And the protocol of the Growth Management Act is, if you want to change what they did, what was done under that act, you have to take your proposal before the Growth Management Act Hearings Board, which is where this proposal should be right now. Anyway, it seems to say that now it needs to be upgraded to commercial to get it under that seems a bit of a stretch. Let me read from the Growth Management Act here, just to give you an idea why. What they have to do before the Growth Management Act Board is prove that the original decision was clearly erroneous, in quotes. That's their standard for overturning that kind of decision. The requirements for all counties, this is from the GMA, requirements for all counties. The GMA requires that all cities and counties in the state, and this is the number one thing on it, designate and protect wetlands frequently flooded and other critical areas. Other GMA goals include focus urban growth in urban areas, which I think is probably the one sentence out of the Growth Management Act that the proponents are relying on. The next one is reduce sprawl. Now, if you put commercial development down on that property, it's going to look like sprawl because it's on the other side of the hill. It's going to act like sprawl because any retail in there is only going to serve to diminish the vitality of the downtown core. And of no small consequence, it's going to look ugly, more than likely, which is not the best picture you want to give to people coming and going from the road. Another goal is provide efficient transportation. I don't think 6,000 new cars coming and going on Highway 2 is going to make Highway 2 any more efficient. The other is protect property rights. Now, I'm sure everybody that lives along that hill feels that their property rights, their property values, and indeed, as we say there, other, the actual property is undermined or will be undermined by this change. I'd like to read the description of the zoning of this property, what's in at the moment, limited open space. The purpose of limited open space zoning district is to provide for low density residential uses on lands that lack the full range of public services and facilities necessary to support urban development and that are severely impacted by critical areas, including frequently flooded areas, steep slopes, or wetlands, that is development potential is significantly diminished. Or, in addition to meeting the criteria above, may also provide buffers between developments or urban separators between transitional land uses on the urban growth boundaries of the city. Now, to me, that reads like cliff notes of the environmental analysis of that property right now. And it's pretty clear why it was put under that designation in the first place. So what has changed since 94 on that property? Well, it's had a couple more of those 500-year floods. But other than that, the only thing that's changed is the ownership. And a changing ownership in and of itself does not justify a change in zoning.
Thank you, sir. Next on the list is Jan Kraft.
I'll pass.
Then Jim Kraft.
Dunk.
Thank you. Clive Ellard.
I didn't realize that the list actually states that if you want to be on a mailing list, not to actually speak tonight. But since I'm on there, sure, I'll give my view.
Right, if you could give your name and address for the record.
Clive Ellard, 21804 Calhoun Road.
Great, and do you promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
Yes, I do.
Thank you, sir.
So, not preparing anything. Back when it was June, July, when this agenda was placed, this proposal was placed on the agenda. At the last 10 minutes of the county meeting, after the Planning Commission guy, exit, says you just should not do it, we do not recommend it. Most of the council seemed to agree with that, except for the Baptist minister and another lady, I don't know their names. And boom, 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 all of a sudden it was proposed. If it didn't cost the city any money, that seemed to be the big criteria, that we should go ahead and let the new owner have his day in court. Well, he certainly has done that, and I can't imagine the city has not spent any money to this point. So, I mean, that in itself seems to be a little crazy. There's so many reasons why this property should stay open space, and you all should know it. I mean, you've got pages and pages of steep slope, floodplain, steep slope. My house is on this slope. There's landslides, two neighbors down. I mean, what's going to happen? No sewers. It won't perk, right? It's not acceptable to a septic system. Is the city prepared to run sewers all the way down there, or what? There's so many things against it. Why the hell has it even got this far? And still, it's going to go to April, and when's it going to end? So, why don't you end it as soon as you can? I mean, it's crazy wasting this time. The other thing that nobody's mentioned as yet, and I do remember reading it, is there's an alternative to commercial, open commercial, and that is some kind of residential, four houses, and a place of worship. I don't know if that, even if the general commercial zoning was X, whether that would go into play. It probably would, because whoever's the old landowner is pushing for whatever he can get. But still, you have the major problem, the septic, plus all the other problems with ingress and egress and da-da-da-da-da-da. So that's my opinion. Please, let's end this thing.
Thank you. Next, we have Margaret Olson. Thank you. And Chad McKimmon. And again, if you could give your name and address for the record, please.
It's Chad McCammon, 21624 Calhoun Road.
And do you promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do. Thank you. Well, thank you all for letting us come and speak about this. I unfortunately didn't have much time to prepare, so I'm going to sound like I'm all over the place, so bear with me a little bit here. But I, like others, you know, did receive a letter that said in July that there was going to be a full environmental impacts study done on the property prior to the rezone, which I do believe should really take place, because once you put the zoning as commercial, whoever buys that property is going to have a pretty strong stance to get commercial built on that property. And actually the city could be in a lawsuit position at that time if it is zoned commercial and then all of a sudden someone buys it as commercial property and they're not allowed to buy. I think we're setting ourselves up for possible law issues there. Some other things that I came across are in our current land use element on page LU13. It talks about US2 and Rivermont Ridge, and the reason that it was brought in as limited open space. It says the area was annexed some years ago primarily as a means of protecting the city's scenic gateway from the east along US2 and to prevent the proliferation of strip commercial uses along US2. The area is significantly impacted by wetlands, and while not in the 100-year plain, is subject to local flooding due to restricted drainage to the Skykomish River. The area also lacks the public facilities and services to facilitate urban level development, including sewer, water, and safe traffic access. Now, this has been in our comprehensive land use element for years and years and years, and nothing's changed about the property. It still has the same issues that it had when this was written. And when we get into the environmental impact statements, it's pointed out that in the current adopted floodplain maps that it's not in the 100-year floodplain, but it's even noted in here that it is in the 100-year floodplain in the ones that have yet to be adopted. They're currently being appealed for certain reasons in other areas of our state, not on this property, that once they do pass, I read through 30 pages of appeals against the current opposed or the proposed new maps, and there's not one mention from, no one appealed this property. Everybody knows that it's going to be in the 100-year floodplain because the base flood elevation is 67 and 68 feet. It's 68 feet right about here, 67 feet about here, as is pointed out in this document. And most of this property, all these areas here are at 60 feet, 64 to 60 feet in here. So that's 7 feet under the floodplain, and I've seen it 7 feet underwater. And do we really want to get a commercial building in there and have it flooded? Who's going to pay for all that? You know, is it? And that's just some of the issues. Other issues that we have are, how do you get the utilities in place? Who's going to pay for the Friday Road? Is that going to be something the city has to pay for? But there's all these flags on this. There's a lot of reasons not to proceed. And it's also pointed out in the flooding issues here, and this is in the EIS, that future development, including grading and filling and placement of structures in the project area, has the potential of displacing flood storage and increasing flood heights on other properties, both upstream and downstream of the Skycomish River. I think a more thorough investigation of this needs to take place, that if you fill that most of that property that we're saying is buildable up 7 or 8 feet, how many acres of water is that, and where is it going to go? Is it going to go up the Ben Howard Road, which already has a lot of flooding issues? Is it going to go downstream? You know what? Who's going to be impacted by that? Other issues that were brought up, most issues in here, I keep reading about negative issues in here, noise, light, all these different issues, and they're unavoidable is how they're written in here. But I keep also reading that it has no impact because there's no planned development. Well, yeah, it doesn't yet, but once we would zone it commercial, then it would have a plan, and you know, then we're going to get into these issues. But at that point, it's probably too late. And I don't know if this was the right place or time, but this property is already being advertised for sale as general commercial use by Walls Properties. On their main webpage, it says general commercial property for sale, $5 million, $4 million, something like that. And then once you get into the ad, if you read the fine print, it says that it's going through a rezone right now. That they're already advertising it as commercial. You know, I think they feel like they have already won this thing, and they have not fulfilled to us what they had stated when we started this, that they were going to take on doing an environmental impact statement on their own if it was docketed, which it has been. So I'm still waiting to see that full environmental impact statement. That's my comments. I guess I'm out of time, so I really appreciate your time to speak. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, that is the end of our list, but is there anyone else who hasn't spoken yet tonight who did not get their name on the list that would like to speak? All right. Sir, if you could then come up to the mic and give us your name and address for the record if you'd like to speak.
Me?
Yes, sir.
I'm not on the list.
That's okay. If you could just give us your name and address for the record. And
I'm Harold Olson. I live at 21616 Calhoun Road.
All right. Do you promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
Yes.
Thank you.
I do. Hey, in 1883, my grandparents came to that property right there. I just wanted to bring that up. And the river at that time came through this way. And in 1913, somewhere in there, the river jammed up and went back behind. My grandfather's property used to take in Buck's Island. And now Buck Island is disappearing very quickly. The river cut that off so that the unknown was no longer ours. Now I live right up in here somewhere. I look over the old farm that I used to milk cows on. And I look right down this driveway. That is right. Where's the first driveway? Right here. In the last big flood, there's a pickup sitting down there and got stuck in the flood water. And pretty quick, the pickup disappeared in the flood water. And now, if you want to walk any of that, you hardly can walk any of that area because of all the rain, and there's probably a foot of water over most of it. They had to get the cattle out of there just lately because they ran out of grass and they're about that deep in mud. I just want on record that I just can't believe that anybody would consider putting a building or development of that land other than leave it go what it is. It's it's just the wrong decision to make if you're going to try to put, develop that area. I think that's it. I thank you for letting me have the opportunity. But I've seen this land, my family's seen that land, and it's the wrong spot to put in development.
All right, thank you, sir. All right, is there anyone else? All right, then I would entertain a motion to close the public testimony portion of this public hearing.
So moved.
Third.
Motion made by Commissioner Christensen, seconded by Commissioner Rodman. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, commissioners, is there anything else to discuss about this EIS before we close the public testimony? Dave?
I understand. Perhaps planning the permitting manager Opelka can help clarify this. Not only is this an opportunity for citizens to comment with regard to the phased EIS, but also an opportunity for planning commissioners to comment. And so the planning commission want to make a comment on this from their own perspective as planning commissioners, and I suppose as members of the community, this is the time it needs to be done before we actually formally close the public hearing. Is that correct?
Yes, that would be correct.
Okay. Taking that just a step further, then, once we close the public hearing, the discussion really moves on from the EIS to the comprehensive plan amendment itself. And as we all know, there's going to be a number of workshops on that before we actually get to a public hearing on the comprehensive plan amendment we proposed.
Yes.
On track still?
Yes, on track.
I've read the draft EIS, draft phase EIS, and we've heard a lot of comments here tonight that we've heard many other times before. And certainly under other applications in past years. I'd like to make two comments with regard to the draft phase EIS. And my comments relate to the alternatives proposed within the document, as well as, I guess, a certain amount of confusion that I have as to the purpose of a phased EIS overall. I'll start with the alternatives. From what I understand, and from what I've seen in the past many times, when we talk about a proposal that's being evaluated through an environmental review process, when we get into an EIS, we also need to talk about alternatives. One of the alternatives is a no action. In other words, it doesn't change from what it is today. And that no action is in the documents in front of us this evening. The document, however, goes on and also shares or presents a second alternative, and that's being called a reduced scope alternative. Now, as I understand it, alternatives are intended to explore different land use options, different ultimate build-outs, densities, different perhaps compromises between the no-action proposal and the proposal that's being put forth. As I look at the no, or the reduced scope alternative that's set forth within the phase EIS this evening, I see that it calls for a shrinking, if I may, of the area within the original proposal, which encompasses about 65 or 68 acres of land, I believe. And when I say shrinking, I mean in the sense it's going to simply remove any areas that are currently identified, or would be identified, I guess, as native protection growth areas, wetland streams, or critical area buffers from the proposal. Effectively shrinking the proposal from what's proposed to the, i.e., reduced scope alternative by some 25 acres or so. But if I understand that correctly, it doesn't in any way provide for or suggest any different use of the remaining land. And as I read this, and as I look at this, it seems to me that what we're taking out, or is being proposed to take out in the reduced scope alternative, really is a portion of the original proposal that isn't going to get developed anyway. And so I can't help but ask, is that truly an adequately or reasonable defined alternative? That's question number one. My second question is a little bit more broad, and it refers to the whole phased EIS in general. As I understand it, the environmental impact statement, including phased EISs, needs to evaluate the cumulative effect of a change, whether it be a proposal, an action, or a, in this case, non-action proposal, as in a designation plan change. At no other time as we move down the road, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 parcels here involved, 6 legal lots, as I understand it, and I could be wrong, but at no other time will individual project review look at the cumulative effect of the change in land use designation. And to quote a section of a document here that's put out by the state, it is in effect, bear with me a second here, it's the idea is to take first a broad approach, look at the cumulative effect of the proposal, and then as individual projects come in, zero in on those projects and the impacts specifically related to those projects. But as I look at that and think about it, I see those individual projects, which we hear will be addressed later on, never at any point addressing that cumulative effect. And I don't see how the documents in front of us this evening adequately addresses any cumulative effect of the change in land use designation, which is someone put tonight, opens the door to the rezone and a different type and level of use. I think those two issues need to be, from my perspective, addressed in this review period. Because I just don't, again, from my perspective, and certainly I'm not an expert on SEPA, I'm a layperson planner up here, it just doesn't seem to me that those issues are adequately or perhaps even correctly addressed in the document as it currently exists. I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Demarest?
Yes.
Thank you, Commissioner Demarest. Commissioners, anyone else wanting to chime in? I would like to jump in here. A couple things that are a concern to me on this document. One is, as it was mentioned earlier, through citizen comment, the wording of the this document, that basically the land use change doesn't really have an impact, but yet the final objective does. And I guess I'm somewhat paraphrasing what others have said tonight, but that is a concern for me. Obviously, you wouldn't redesignate an area to be commercial and then not rezone it. We have to rezone it to comply. It has to, the zoning will have to change. And once it does, then someone can come in and do their best to build some commercial development on there. And I think that this document needs to seriously take all of that into account. The other thing is, it's been discussed about the 500-year floodplain and the 100-year floodplain and those kinds of things. And although I don't think it's in the document, there's been discussion that Highway 2 is not currently considered a levee or a dike at this moment, and that, you know, maybe someday it will. And as it has been mentioned in previous meetings, there are two culverts, I guess, from what I understand. I haven't looked at it myself. That go into this property that would have to be sealed, I would imagine, before it could be considered a dike. And I don't know if that's a fact or not, but it just makes sense to me that it would have to be. So I don't see how that could really have an impact. That's just my opinion, not a professional opinion. Those are my concerns as far as the EIS is concerned. As far as this document is concerned. Commissioners, any other comments on the EIS?
I just had the one comment. It kind of fits in with what Commissioner Demarest stated earlier. Was in the summary in the proposed action, there's a sentence that says, future development within the project area will be required to supplement or amend this environmental impact statement when more specific development actions are proposed, which means to me that, you know, you can't really rely on this until we have a defined project as to how it's going to affect the environment and all that other stuff. So, that to me right away concerned me. So.
Thank you. Any other commissioners wanting to speak on this?
Yeah.
Commissioner Rondo? You look like you did.
The other night we had a gentleman here from the Safety Coalition for Highway 2, and I didn't see him out here tonight, but he had a very comment to make about access to this property, and that he works with the state of Washington, and they said that they will probably will not allow any roads or roundabouts to be built at that intersection. So that kind of concerns me too. It probably isn't anything to do with the environmental part of it, but I thought I'd throw that in. And also, I've heard some very nice comments tonight out there, and I think we still have one opening on the Planning Commission, a vacancy, and I've heard some pretty good comments coming from the crowd out here. And there is some applications that could be building.
Commissioners?
Yeah. Chairman Demers? I'd like to have one more comment if I may.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of things that are going to get flushed out of this as we move along. Flushed out? More thoroughly evaluated as we move along. But 16 times in this document it says this action in itself does not have any environmental impacts. And I can understand where that statement is coming from, but at the same time, I can't fully accept it, because a rezone to general commercial will change what can happen out there no matter how you look at it. We've heard some ideas put forth by the applicant, do this, but quite frankly, if those proposals didn't work out, once it's rezoned, someone could put a car lot out here. And it just, again, it goes back, I guess, to my comment about the breadth of the process. I don't see how we can say that it doesn't have an environmental impact. It does change allowed uses. And I don't see how you can avoid that. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, any further comments? If not, then I would entertain a motion to close the public testimony, or excuse me, the public hearing.
I'll make a motion the public hearing be closed.
Second. Motion made by Commissioner Demers, seconded by Commissioner Sherwood. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. One thing I would like to say is, as mentioned earlier in my prepared statement here, there are it is opportunity for more comment by the public in written form, and management, maybe I'll have you address that if you feel when you get a chance. And then, of course, there'll be more discussion, more workshops with the Planning Commission on the project in and of itself, beyond the scope of this environmental impact statement. And then there will be another public hearing and a decision made in April on what to recommend to City Council. We are a recommending body, so we don't make the final decision. We recommend to City Council, then City Council reviews this and takes our recommendation into consideration, and will make their own decision. Will make the decision on what is to happen with this. And I think right at this point, no more public involvement is allowed tonight.
Okay,
but,
okay, sorry.
But be happy to talk to you afterwards if you have any questions on the process. And also, if you could maybe explain how further comments can be made. Thank you.
Yeah, the comment period for this, the formal comment period is to the end of the month, March 31st. And comments can be submitted by mail. Written comments submitted.
30th.
Oh, March 30th is the end of the comment period. You're welcome to submit written comments by mail, by email to the city, drop them off, we take them in any written form. Are you accepting the email comments in your name?
No, it's Joan. Or you can go online to the city's website, and there is a comment form to fill in. So.
And those, we can take them through March 30th. After that, it would we can certainly take the comments, but they would not be part of the official public record for this project, for this EIS. And then in terms of future meetings, the commission will consider this at meetings in April. I believe April 9th is the next time this comes to our agenda. It might possibly come before that, but April 9th and is scheduled at this point for a commission meeting on April 23rd to have a public hearing for the comprehensive plan amendment and a recommendation that night on the 23rd to forward to the City Council for their consideration. And Council would first hear this in an introductory session in their first meeting in May, the first Tuesday in May. Some of those dates might change, but at this point, that is our schedule. Ultimately, the Council is scheduled to take action July 10th. Was it the 10th?
10th, yes.
July 10th. At that point, the Council would take action on all comprehensive plan amendments that are in the pipeline in the review process now. That would be East Monroe. That would be the first airfield application to expand the airport runway and some related facilities, and also the work we're doing in regards to the North Kelsey plan and the downtown plan in the comprehensive plan. So those three would all be considered for final approval, or final action, I should say, by City Council on July 10th. And they would all have to be, they all have to be considered together. So if it's not July 10th, it might be July 17th, all at once for the final action.
Great, thank you. Commissioners, we are no longer in this public hearing for the EIS, so I don't know if there's anybody wanting to make any comments on the project as a whole. I know we'll be having some more workshops, which are generally to give us more information, so I don't know if anybody wants to make any comments or have any questions right now for staff. We will be meeting again on this project over the next few weeks. Commissioners, anyone want to make any comments, questions for staff?
I'll make a comment, it's not for staff.
Sure, Dave.
I'd like to thank the audience for coming out tonight. I've seen many of you here many times, and I hope you'll continue to come out. Your voice is important, so thank you.
I will second that motion. Thank you very much. Well, with that, I guess if this is the time of a meeting, we will move on to comments from commissioners and staff. So, Honeyman Popelka, do you have any comments or any updates on anything in the last week?
No, sure, nothing further.
Thank you. Commissioner Christensen, anything for us tonight?
I'm nothing.
Commissioner Sherwood?
No.
Commissioner Dimmers?
Sure. The city's website. I'm looking at the homepage right now of the government. And in the right-hand column, there's a section titled Vacancy Board of Ethics. But for probably going on 12 or 18 months, we've had at least one vacancy here, and I don't see the Planning Commission listed. Might not hurt to get it out there. As was mentioned by the chairman, we are still looking for a we are looking for candidates.
Thank you.
I guess that is for staff.
Mr. Rodman, the other one thing I would mention, hopefully you all got the email that we now officially have our own City of Monroe emails. Of course, it's not listed anywhere on the city, so I haven't gotten any email. Fine. But if you have any questions, we can talk to Kim next week about that.
We are.
So if nobody else has any other comments, then I would ask Kim, motion to adjourn.
So
motion made by Commissioner Christensen and seconded by Commissioner Rodland. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.